pleasant Tuesday the 13th to you. This is Ozarks at Large. COVID-19 cases are on the rise again in Arkansas. This has made research on the virus much more urgent. Dr. Josh Kennedy, a pediatric immunologist for Arkansas Children's Hospital, recently spoke with Ozarks at Large's Matthew Moore about a major federal grant he was awarded to help Arkansas better understand our current and future viral risks.
The National Institute of Health, in partnership with Arkansas Children's Research Institute, is granting nearly $1 million to UAMS to improve tracking of COVID-19 variants in the state. Dr. Josh Kennedy is an associate professor in pediatrics and internal medicine, whose focus is on allergy and immunology. Kennedy says the NIH has selected UAMS as a Center of Biomedical Research Excellence Award winner, which was how they were awarded the grant money.
This grant came together as a supplement of that award, and the award owner is Dr. Alan Tackett here at UAMS. The NIH recognized that Arkansas was lagging behind in our sequencing capacity, and they wanted to put more money into sequencing in Arkansas.
How does Dr. Kennedy and the team at Arkansas Children's plan to spend that money?
The majority of this money is going straight to sequencing. That was the NIH mandate. We're hoping to sequence over 12,000 genomes over the next year. That depends on the number of cases, of course, and we're going to shoot for as many as possible. We have a great consortium here with hospitals in central Arkansas, and we're shooting to start to expand that into rural areas and areas around the state so that we can increase our capacity to sequence here in Arkansas.
Up until this point, Arkansas had done very little to sequence COVID-19. In fact, Arkansas ranks 48th nationwide in the number of samples of the virus that have been sequenced. But why does this matter? What exactly does sequencing a sample of COVID-19 tell us? One of the main reasons for doing this is that it gives us a better idea of how to combat the virus and its ensuing variations or variants. These variants, like the Delta variant, are mutations of the original coronavirus.
I think what you're seeing here is the short-term evolution of a virus in process. And so when there's pressure to change, the virus wants to live. And so we're seeing that in real time.
These variants fall into three categories: variants of interest, variants of concern, and variants of high concern.
There are variants of interest, and those are viruses that have specific mutations in them that might cause a problem. We don't know yet, but based on the specific sequence problem, the variant that was in the sequence that looks like that virus might have an issue, either with vaccination or increased infection rates or more transmissibility to other people. So those are variants of interest. Variants of concern are a next level virus. These are viruses that we see that have a mutation that has now caused some specific problem.
These variants can have different symptoms, they can be more contagious, they can be transmitted differently than the original, and they can potentially escape vaccination. These elements can wreak havoc in a state with a low vaccination rate, like Arkansas. So far, no variants have been classified to be of high concern. Well, okay, so let's get to work then, right? Grab all those Petri dishes, throw them in a machine, and get to work sequencing thousands of samples. It's not exactly that fast and easy.
The process right now is that we have to gather these samples into the lab. We have to organize those samples. And if we're going to have 12,000, that means we're getting 200 a week to organize and bring into the lab and make sure we don't lose anything. There's also the problem of that you can't just directly sequence the sample, the viral transport media that the sample comes into. So the first step is to take out that viral RNA that you want to sequence. That can take some time. The next step is to put it on the sequencer, and that takes a day to sequence that piece. And then finally, it's the data. So when you sequence a sample, you're talking about multitudes, terabytes of data that are going to come off the machine that have to be organized and evaluated. And the analysis can take some time.
How much time? Dr. Kennedy says it's taking his team between 2 and 4 weeks to do this incredibly complex work. From the information he sees, of the current variations in Arkansas, especially the Delta variant, Dr. Kennedy says we should be extremely cautious.
Based on what we see, I think that all people should be wearing masks at this point when they're in public. It seems, if for no other reason, that we need to take care of our neighbors and look out for other people. Yes, right now, it seems as though the vaccinations are working against these specific variants, Delta included, but you could also carry that virus. And if you carry that virus to someone who can't be vaccinated, then again, you've spread that virus to someone now who could end up in the hospital, who could be much more sick.
In addition to social distancing and masking up, Dr. Kennedy says vaccinations are important too, but it's helpful to remember the role of vaccinations.
I think it's really important to recognize that vaccinations are really not necessarily to keep people from getting the virus. They're to keep people from getting so sick from the virus.
While many Arkansans are eligible to receive the vaccine, one very important group is not. Kids under the age of 12. And by you as an adult getting vaccinated, you can help protect those who cannot yet.
I'm a pediatrician. Kids aren't vaccinated under 12. And so it's a very important and responsible thing to do to consider the children and get your vaccination.
That leads really well into this. Less than 40% of eligible Arkansans are fully immunized at this point. Do you worry that we have moved past vaccine hesitancy and into vaccine rejection? Or do you feel like there's a way to still convince those who may not be vaccinated yet to still go get one?
Yeah, I'm an eternal optimist, Matthew. I think that we have to try. We have to be on our game and talk to people. And I'm in clinic with a lot of people who have come to me and said, you know, I'm just not sure. And I completely understand that. And my goal in that clinic visit is to talk to you about the vaccine, for you to be able to ask questions and get your questions answered, because I think the transparency here is so important. Knowing that the number that I've seen, 96% of physicians in the state are vaccinated versus 40% of the total population. I mean, we are the ones on the front lines, the ones that are most at risk here, and we've taken the vaccine. I think that we have to talk about these things and put them out there so that people understand, look, yes, this moved quickly, but it was not, the red tape was cut. It was not that there was any skipped steps along the way to look at this vaccine. So yes, I'm an eternal optimist. I hope that we're not into that vaccine rejection piece. I hope that we're still hesitant. I hope that we can still talk about this and keep those lines of communication open between a physician that you trust, someone that you trust in your family who's had the vaccine, someone who's willing to talk about it.
Dr. Kennedy says these conversations with the unvaccinated population is vitally important and may take time.
I may not change your mind when you're in my clinic visit, but my hope is that we've planted a seed that will grow into something that makes you question your own belief about why you've decided not to vaccinate. And then I hope that next person who gets to talk to you about it, they'll see that seed grow into a plant and say, hey, let's make this happen. Let's get a vaccine. We're here. We want to talk. The physicians around you want to talk to you about this, and we want to give you the information that we have.
What gives you hope? You talked about being an eternal optimist and being someone, I think, dealing with kids on a regular basis. I think you really have no choice but to be an optimist. What gives you hope through all of this research and all of this studying that you're doing?
So I think that the thing that really gives me hope is that we've done this once. We saw the numbers go down. We can do this. It's not an impossible situation. We saw the numbers drop again despite having a really high rate. The virus has mutated. It is different now. We need to consider that in what we're doing. And yes, the vaccines do work, but we are a very low vaccinated state. So the hope here is that we can do better, and we have done better, and so I can see that, and I want people to consider that as we move forward through this, is that we've done this before, we can do it again.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm Matthew Moore.